Yes.
So how are you feeling?
Well, actually, on top of the world. I really feel very, very nice and wonderful. Apart from the walk, which of course is part of my life, it's very important. This atmosphere in this place, in Auroville, is really, really conducive, I think, to peace. I think so. That's my feeling. That's how I feel. I see, of course, lots of people who are not Indian here. But ultimately, it's global that is more important than just this state, this country, that country. Right? So, I really feel very good about this. Really. First of all, when you walk, you are discarding all the modern inventions which pollute the air. See, car always gives fumes. Motorcycles, they all have exhaust. So walking, first of all, is good for the environment. It helps you so that you're free. That's part of it. Secondly, I was very happy to see the gardens, the forests here, because they are not tended, artificially pruned forests. They are allowed to grow wild. I think this is an important thing which I am also very interested in. We have a project called Maitri, which means friendship project. It also means in English, Maitri. Each person adopts a tree and looks after it. So here I see that there is so much stress and so much interest shown in environmental concerns, which is a good thing for us. And the people who walked with us, they all saw it. You know it because you live here. But there were people who had come who saw this, and it's already working in their minds, oh, we should make places like this where we can live together. Then, third, the villages. It was really very nice yesterday to have all the villages. I personally believe that without getting village involved, it's very difficult to live in peace and to move forward. This is a very important. I'm so glad that yesterday all these villages were there. They're actually simple people. It's just that politics sometimes creates problem for them, politicians. So if you approach them, this is better than a political move yesterday. You know, walking together. Generally, what walking together is only done by politicians for oaths. We walk together for peace. So I think it will have an impact. And today, last, we went to schools. The school kids were walking with us. They're innocent children. They don't know Auroville, not Auroville, white, black. They have no idea. So if you can inculcate at this point the feeling of oneness, they walk, they were asking me several questions. Who are you? Why are you here? Little kids, what are you doing? You know, I spoke to them openly. I said, this is what I'm doing, this is what we are. He said, oh my God, so you walked 7,500 kilometers. Did it hurt? How did you manage? So I said, it doesn't hurt to walk. It's a question of training. So, you know, it brings about a new idea, new angle of looking at things and togetherness. Which is why we started the Walk of Hope. I am really thankful to Auroville, to all you people who have organized it, that you invited me here and that I could do my job, which I have been always doing. So, now, I had been to Auroville, I had never been before, and I have never had an intimate connection or understanding. Now I know. I know, I have an independent. Dr. Karan Singh, who is the chairman, has been saying this for years. But I always say, okay, you know, kind of thing. But now I know. There are well-minded, good-minded people, right-minded people working here. I know that. See, any work, there may be problems in between. Understandable. As far as villagers are concerned, they might say, what's going on? But then if you have more such movements, if you can initiate more walks into the villages and interact with them, everything will be settled. When people walk with you, they automatically feel they are part of you. So I think on the whole, it was really very useful as for the principle of unity, as well as for the philosophy of oneness, which I live for. Well, yesterday's walk involved the entire villages. That was a different kind of thing. And that is also necessary. It's also useful and necessary. Today's walk was more intimate with school kids and going to places where creative ideas are being processed and looked into. Both have their values. But I think you should have more of the village-involved such exercises, which would be good. It's good for us, good for all, to know that we mean no harm. We're doing something good. Join us. You know what I mean? So that walk is, yesterday's walk was important for spreading the message. Today's walk was important for catching the ethos into place. Especially I love that music place where this guy is trying to bring people together with music. I mean, this is, I keep saying every time that music has no language. You can be from any part of the world, but everybody enjoys the music. So music is a link, you see. So little children are a link because they are so innocent. Their minds are so innocent. So both walks, I think, are useful and they both have an impact. But that was more into the public domain and this is more into the inner. And as I always say, if there's no change internally, you can't bring about unity outside. It's not possible. You can walk, but it doesn't mean anything, you know. So there is the difference, but there is the commonality also in both. Well, I went to the Mati Mandir in the morning and sat quietly for some time inside. I've heard various different versions from different people, but so I wanted to see for myself. And I think it was a very, very good experience for me. Apart from the architecture, we leave that aside, which of course is quite difficult to get to. But the inside atmosphere of sitting there quietly and looking, I didn't close my eyes inside. I sat for nearly half an hour, or at least 20 minutes. I didn't close my eyes because I wanted to just look at the central crystal out there, the ball out there. And I think I could go very deep into myself. Let's put it that way. So that is one highlight. The other is, I always thought, this is the impression many people give, that Auroville is like mostly run by foreigners. I don't believe it anymore. I think there are many people who are working here, but it's part of the world. That you can't split it and say, this is belong to this country, this belongs to that country. The whole idea is global. So my realization of that was another highlight of this. So these are the two important highlights for me this weekend I came here. I was just talking to our friends when we came back. I said, it requires a dedicated band of people to bring about a place like this. Unfortunately, I'm saying this with great pain, we don't have such people. People don't get so dedicated and work together. They're there, then, you know. So that's something very important which we can incorporate in all institutions and organizations. Differences are bound to be there. More than one person, there is a difference. But how we can sort it out together, and that I think the Matri Mandir, which has architecturally been made into a globe, global structure, is a good symbol of getting people together. It also represents, from my point of view, the globe, the entire world. So, you know, the ancient teachings of the Vedas, that is my main understanding, is the Upanishads, the Vedas. Nowhere they talk about countries or castes or such distinctions. The greatest prayer in the Veda is Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. It's from the Rig Veda. 2,000, 3,000 years old. Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu means may the whole world be happy. Doesn't say let this country be happy or that. Let the whole world be happy. So that I carry that impression that some work is going on in this direction. I won't say that we can't predict anything about it. But as of now, I feel a dedicated band of people are doing this, and others should also try and do it. I don't know, you're already doing it, I don't know, but I think the upper administrative layer and the people who work should have more meetings together, maybe, so that there is no division between the two. Might help. It can get acrimonious, I understand. But then nothing good comes out without the churning. As long as it doesn't turn violent, it is okay. You know what I mean? We have this old story, old mythological story of the churning of the ocean of milk in the ancient Indian Shastras, the Devas and the Asuras, who are the other side, churned the ocean of milk. And the first thing that came out was poison. And it took some time before the Amrit, the nectar came out. So it's possible then when you churn, some poison might come out, as well, it should. If you don't get it out, then you'll never go to the nectar. So I think that if you can, and this is only my suggestion, I don't know what the situation is, more interaction between different levels of people who are working. Not only among the upper levels, but also it's possible that some things can be sorted out. First point I noted was that everybody was absolutely silent. And the structure of the hall is such, you know, the way it is built is such, that it comes from the top down to the bottom, and I'm sitting here. You kind of get some feeling like this when you go to the Grand Canyon, you know. That's much bigger scale. It's a much bigger scale. It descended. I've gone inside, almost. And then you sit here, it's as if you are in the bowels of the earth, looking up. In the Himalayas, it's the reverse. You are on the top of the pinnacle, looking down. This is so, in many auditoriums, it's either you're sitting in the same direction or you're sitting in a different way. Here, you're sitting here and everybody is here. So that also, I think, contributes to free your brain from conditionings, so that you're free. You talk what you want to talk, and you know. So the place also helped. Plus the fact that people were absolutely silent and listening carefully. Two things are important. I don't know if it is an induced discipline or whether it is natural. I don't know. But for me, it was a very good venue. I felt that it was a very good venue. But I think most of the people were serious seekers. Most of the people were serious seekers in their own way. With this or that, it could be Zen, it could be Tibetan Buddhism, it could be Hinduism, it could be mystic, Christian mysticism or Sufi, it doesn't matter. But intense seekers, I think many of them, right? And I think that includes also Kiran. She also, I have noticed, is a very serious seeker in some way, you know. So it matters to, when you have an intimate talk like this, I would call it a satsang, the quality of the listeners is also important. Otherwise it just goes over the head and it's forgotten. So that's what I felt yesterday. So I'm sure I could convey more than I could have normally. Great beings like, I'm avoiding the word people, great beings like Sri Aurobindo and the mother and so on, others also are there. They're not for any single organization or single system. They're universal. and global. So anyone with an open mind can immediately sense, especially one who has also traveled on the path in some way. I'm not comparing, but you sense that, oh, I think I have an idea what they're saying or what they're feeling. You know, so that connect is there. Now I'm looking forward to going in the afternoon to Sri Aurobindo's room in the evening and being there for it, even if it's for a few minutes. You know? So, there was a connect. I cannot say more than that. During the big walk, I had many conflicts to work out with different people. Some pro-government, anti-government, left, right, center, politically, I mean. Because India is a country where politics is so deep-rooted, even especially with the villages. So I had a lot of work to do. Now, in this case, the circle is not so big. I mean, it's confined to a smaller circle. So what I would suggest is that you have more such events. I don't have to come. You have more such events. Yesterday somebody was saying we would try to do this again. I think you said, someone else said, that we will try to bring about this kind of activity more, so that it takes a lot of time. So I think I have kind of only initiated it, you know, like planting a seed. Now it's for you who live here to take it up and work it out. It may be in different ways too. It need not necessarily be a walk. Walk is my way of doing it. So if I have succeeded, if in planting the seeds, I'm happy. Usually conflict resolution is not so calm. Actually, it's very simple. If you understand the fact that the other guy also may be right sometimes. That's all you need to think. He may not be always right, but you know, I always tell people who are going to get married, I always tell them, just one second, just think about this. No marriage is perfect. Because two kinds of different people are coming together. It's the same, like for all the world, society is the same. So there are differences. But so it's a compromise and a give and take. So you have made a good start if you start with the idea that sometimes I may be wrong. That's it. Sometimes I may be wrong. You don't have to say always I'm wrong, but sometimes I may be wrong. If you start with that, then you know how to, you know, otherwise I'm always right. It doesn't work. So, as I said yesterday, the resolution should start here first. And but we can't wait it to be completely 100% here before we go out and work. This is not going to work. Some people take lifetimes to get the inner resolution. So we can't wait. But while this is on, we should also start the other so that they both go hand in hand. That's the only way. I'm sitting here, I think my inner conflicts I have resolved. I think so, personally. But it took me many lives. It's not one life. That's why my second book I have written, The Journey Continues. It took many lives and many tough lives. The iron had to be heated in the fire and put on the anvil and beaten before it got into shape. So we can't wait for that. So wherever we have a little bit sorted out our conflict, we should translate it into action. Let me tell you what my understanding of this. Human evolution from the little single cellular organism to now into this multi-cellular organization called the human being. It's a big thing. We have evolved. When we were a single-celled organization, organism, we wouldn't have thought that this would evolve so much. First of all, we didn't have the brain to think so. Now it is complex, it has evolved. I feel it is also there in many of the teachings of other teachers, spiritual teachers, that physical evolution has now come to kind of a standstill. We don't hope to evolve more physically. We have done the best, in spite of the fact that we use only 10% of our brains for all this. So the next step would be certainly an evolution beyond the human body. What this civilization we have, I sometimes call it the frontal lobe civilization. But there are many other lobes in the brain. So the future of evolution of the human being is now to step from the ordinary physical to the metaphysical. And I think it's time we are moving towards it, slowly, slowly, in some way. Scientists are beginning to think about it, you know. So I think the future of humanity is, at some point, it may take many years, majority of the human beings will realize that we are not just this body business. It's something beyond. I think that's the, and I hope it works. Because there are many, many obstacles to this. But it has to work because evolution has to move forward. There is no other way. The brain has done its maximum and brought good and mischief both. Now we have to transcend it. Transcend it means touch upon those centers which have not active. And the whole process of meditation and so on is to activate these other organs of perception which every human being possesses but is not using, apart from the five senses. So that is the future of humanity. So there should be peace at some point, but it may take time. I can't say it will be tomorrow, day after. That's what I think.